You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Amen. Thank you, Kane. Thank you, worship team. And thank you, Josh, for leading our thoughts in communion, helping us to reflect on just some of the simplest things are the key. And of course, historical event of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is life-changing for everyone. Amen. The more we sit in it, the more it can change us. So today I want to talk about this idea of getting stronger. And I know a lot of us are going in the gym and working out, and I was with some of the men this week, and we did a little bench press thing to kind of see where we are all at, and we were talking about how we're going to grow. But really, this popped in my mind because I was thinking about, how do we grow stronger spiritually? How does that really happen? It's easy in our culture at times to want to take the easy way. And the easy way normally does not lead to a stronger spiritual life, right? We learn you got to have some resistance training to get stronger. So the thought occurred to me that really, we grow when we just get in there and start doing stuff and training and learning and facing some difficulty. Growth happens when we get in there and stuff gets hard and we develop. And so this past week, I went surfing again. Now, I took up surfing about 6 years ago because the Pepperdine students that were there back then, they said, hey, join us for this class we're having up in Zuma Beach. It's a surfing class. We all get credit, but you can just join us. They won't even know. They won't even care. So just join us. You can use the boards. And so I was like, all right. I had just moved to the West Side, not that long prior to that. And I thought, you know, West Side could be a crazy time. The city, there's a lot happening. We all need our place of quiet, of calm, of mental health. And I thought, hey, I'm living by the beach again. I had spent 20 years living in the Inland Empire, where right now it's like 105, right? So I'm back by the ocean. I thought, I'm going to take up surfing. The Pepperdine College students invited me, so I did it. It was awesome. I could not get up on the board. There were many times, if you're a surfer, you know, just swimming out past the break is sometimes impossible, right? Even today, sometimes it can be impossible. That means getting past where all the waves break on your head. And half the time, I felt like I was drowning. I'd go out surfing. I'd see, there's a lot of young guys and a lot of old guys surfing these days up and down the coast of Southern California. Guys 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. And I see these guys catching these waves, having so much fun. And I'm just barely catching my breath, just trying not to get knocked off my board. And I was kind of envious of the fun they were having. So I got to stick with it. And my wife will tell you, I'd come home many times and I'd be like, oh, it was terrible today. I couldn't even catch one wave. And this old dude caught like 10. And it was a struggle for me. But I didn't give up. And so I kept going out. And I'm still a novice at it. Going out with Connor this week, it was his very first time. And I was like, I don't know that much, Connor, but let me give you a few tips. And I showed him how to jump up on the board, and we were on the sand. I taught him a little bit of what you have to do when the wave's about to knock you off, how you turtle roll, and a couple of basics, right? And I went out there, and it was a nice time, and I caught 4 or 5 waves, and it was no big deal. It was fun, right? It was a good time. Amen. And what I realized is that when you stick with it, you grow, right? When you stick with things, you grow. When you push through the hard times, you develop a little bit more muscle. The principle we know works in almost every area of life, and it absolutely works with our spiritual life. See, the waves didn't change. We change when we put some effort in and we put our heart into what we're doing, right? Growth occurs when you are willing to pour your life out for people, right? Growth occurs when you're willing to fight the battles for God. And we're going to dig in today to some of the scriptures that might not be brand new to some of you. I think a lot of you have seen them. But when you put them all together, it leaves us a picture of how to grow spiritually. Amen. In the spiritual realm, sometimes forgiving is very difficult to do. Sometimes having an honest conversation is difficult to do. Sometimes trusting God when life is really difficult and we're called to hold to the scriptures, but we feel disillusioned because we've been holding on for a long time and things aren't working out the way we wish. But if we keep practicing the way of Jesus, we become stronger. Case in point, we're doing the solitude series that we just finished. Thank you, men that taught those classes. I hope you spent some time in solitude. The practice of putting yourself at the feet of Jesus, the practice of opening up the scriptures, the practice of consistency helps you grow stronger. The question to ask yourself today is, how do you know if you're really growing stronger? And it's not simply because you're getting older. It's not simply because you know more Bible, or maybe you attend more church services. The question is, are you becoming more like Jesus even in times and circumstances that are difficult to act like Jesus? We grow when we obey God under pressure, and that's the truth, right? You've got to face resistance to grow, right? To develop almost any area of your life. If you want to make steps towards growth, you've got to face resistance head on. You've got to have some suffering. And we all go through suffering. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But it's easy to obey God when it seems to cost you nothing. But what about obeying Jesus when it's really challenging? When life is crumbling? When your dreams aren't going the way you hoped? When temptation has mounted quite high? And it comes to all of us. And we're going to talk a little bit about how God, he brings these tensions, these resistance into our life. Because I believe deeply that God wants all of us to grow all the days of our life. College students, you're in that great stage of life. You're in school, you're getting degrees, you're learning a lot, you're growing. Everybody knows, yeah, the college students are growing. But you wanna know something? The 40-year-olds, the 50-year-olds, the 60-year-olds, the 70-year-olds, the 80-year-olds can grow just as much. We're all aiming for Jesus, right? That's a high calling, and growth will be needed until the day he takes us home. Amen. So I want to hit today from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, a classic verse. It says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And I want to combine the faith, hope, and love concept into our Westside mantra. Our Westside mantra is belong, believe, become. And there's a lot of reasons we picked that. But part of growing is that these qualities of spirituality, these spiritual qualities, should continue to grow throughout your life, right? That's the goal, that your faith grows, that your hope in God's promises grow, that your love for other people will grow. And each of those ties in, and I'll show you how that connects to our mantra as a church of, we want to be a church where we belong, we believe, and we become. See, Paul hits this very clearly. One of the challenges is it's hard to really live into some of these things when you face difficulties personally right in your own life from people around you. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about this. But my first point is simply this. So we want to grow spiritually. Our love's got to grow, and love grows as we obey, all right? And in fact, true love for Jesus leads to obedience. And we read this very, very clearly in John chapter 14. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. We can say, Jesus, I love you. But then Jesus says, okay, if you love me, follow me. Trust what I say enough to do what I say. And one place this is very real is in relational conflict. Any of us have any relational conflict ever? I have it all the time because I live with people, okay? I live with my wife, mother-in-law, and my daughter. And so relational conflict is part of life. How do you manage it? How do you work through it? When we don't handle relational conflict well, when we take the easy road, it can really hurt ministries. And I want to talk to the church a little bit about this. This is an important part. Love, growing love happens by facing difficulties the right way. And there's a verse. College students got to hear this, but not just the college students. The singles ministry, the marriage ministry, all households got to hear this, all right? Take a look at this verse. We've heard it before. It's in Matthew chapter 18. It says, and I've got the NSRV version of this. I like this version. Take a look. It says, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. The NIV says, just between the two of you. If the member listens to you, you've regained that one, right? You've won your brother over, right? You've restored the relationship. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Okay, this is direction directly from the mouth of our Lord, of Jesus, the ultimate relationship person. He understood them completely. As a congregation, as any body of people, we will have relational conflict. And I have heard there's conflicts all the time because people are in the church and try as we may, we still sin. And that can cause conflict. You guys with me? So how do we deal with it? Well, the bottom line is, it says here, you go directly to the person that hurt you, or you felt like hurt, or you saw or felt something that slighted you. You are to go to them, not go around them. Not go first to your five friends to get their perspective on whether or not that sin was really bad and how you should manage it. Right? Not to build a case or recruit people to your side. Now, there are times, obviously, pastorally, if there's abuse, I'm not telling people to go into an abusive situation without support and protection and leadership and authority. What I am saying is normal relational slights, sins against one another, a problem that happens, and it's just rampant, is we feel hurt and we hate conflict. So we don't want to go to that person. Maybe they're 10 years older. Maybe they're 10 years younger. And we feel like, I better get more advice. There is a right time to get pastoral advice. But if you're the one that they're seeking advice from about something, I hope you as a Christian remember this verse and go, make sure you go talk to this person. And the next time you see the person that was telling you all the things, you follow up. Did you have the talk? That is true love. That is really what will keep us growing. But if we hate having the talk when somebody slights us, and people slight us all the time, come on. I mean, Carrie and I were talking about the schedule for the church this week, and I had all my ideas of what we should do, and I was throwing everything on the schedule, like, honey, we're going to have staff here, we're going to do this. And he says, honey, we're taking care of our grandson, and then we have this we've already planned, and we talked about this already, and I'm getting really upset because I always want to produce, right? I want to get stuff done. I want to have meetings and make stuff happen. And she's like, hold on, you're out of line. She's feeling that I'm breaking our original commitment, the things we agreed to. We had some conflict. And you know what I did? I listened. And I said, okay, you're actually right. There ain't no way we're having a staff meeting with a three-year-old running around our living room. And we had already planned to schedule it where we're going to get into rhythm. We have a whole plan. But I was thinking out loud and relational conflict occurred. But we've grown through so much time and conflict and working together that we speak the truth in love and we both own our mistakes. And if I run ahead or if she maybe is feeling irritable about something, we communicate directly to one another, not in front of the kids, not in front of one of the other people in the house. We communicate and we resolve and we grow from this, right? Marriages grow when you resolve. Marriages grow when you have forthright talks. And so this principle really needs to land. Love goes to, right? It goes to the person, but gossip goes around. And I've seen many a campus ministry, many a singles ministry have a lot of dissension and discord and pain because people are afraid to go to one another and have that talk. But if you have the talks, you build bonds. Also, when you're able to push through the feeling of, I don't want to have that hard talk, you grow, right? You grow as a person. If you avoid it, you just get weaker, right? And more stuff happens. And I've seen so many ministries destroyed by this. Amen. So imagine the safety of our church where everyone knows that if someone has a problem with me, they will come and talk to me. Another verse that comes to my mind, by the way, is not just if they sinned against you. There's a verse in Matthew chapter 5 where Jesus says, if you know that somebody has something against you and you're offering your gift, you're to leave your gift and go resolve. So if you've been sinned against, or if you know you did something that kind of hurt somebody, the Bible's clear. If you kind of in the back of your mind know this happened, you are to go and resolve. This strengthens us. This is real love. And in my own family, I don't want there to be tension and unspoken things. And we all might have family members and relatives where when things go sideways, if you don't talk about it, it destroys the family, right? In our family, we talk about it. We get it out there. We're real. Who we are, you know how we feel. I love my wife. She's a truth teller. She doesn't just stuff things, right? She just tells you what she thinks, and that keeps us growing, keeps us strong, and keeps us unified, right? We've all learned to do that. As a church, let's be a deeply loving church that understands tension's gonna come your way. One of the tensions is this balance of truth and grace, right? When we're having these talks, it's both truth and grace, right? It's not just one or the other. And what I realize is that Jesus, he allows tensions into all of our lives. The Holy Spirit allows tension into your life because, see, maturity is not always eliminating the tension. It is becoming strong enough to live faithfully within it. You guys with me? Tension is really God's plan. I think the polarity of our world is because God is trying to get the world to grow in its love. Many of the challenges in society are tests for us, right? Can we be strong enough to live faithfully within these many tensions? And I think the greatest tension, let me just tell you this thought, it's a deep thought on tension. We live in a time where Jesus has already resurrected, right? He's resurrected and he's not walking around on earth anymore, is he? He ascended into heaven. We believe Jesus resurrected and ascended. That means that a piece of eternal life has entered into human reality. The new creation has entered into human reality. We've seen Jesus, you know, he walked on water and then he somehow just went straight into the spiritual world off of earth. And the scriptures teach someday we're gonna have bodies like Jesus's. It says that in the Bible. But at this stage, we still have bodies like ours, meaning our bodies will die, our bodies will get older, our bodies will decay. Society is tough, the world is dark, there is decay in society, but a taste of eternity has entered into reality. And we live between the ages. A part of us, we're at church today because we're like, we want to seek eternity. And hopefully the church is a little foretaste of goodness, right? If we can really have love, we're a little taste of heaven in church. That's the idea. But we walk out these doors and sadly, even within the doors, sometimes our human sin gets in there. So we know what's right, but we're wrestling with the tension of being in this world, but not wanting to be of this world. You guys with me? We live between the ages. When Jesus returns, it's all the tension's over, guys. It's over, right? The judgment comes, it's over. Until then, God is trying to help us get stronger. Do you believe that? See, if we'll grow in our love, then what happens is that's the concept of belonging. We'll feel like we belong. We talk to each other, not about each other. And this strengthens the church. This is true growth, right? Love will grow when we love in the hard ways. And I just want to say the practical on that is let's have the hard talks we need to have in confidentiality with each other and build health and not let gossip go around ever in our congregation. Amen. I haven't heard it going on at all on the campus, but trust me, I've seen campus ministries for years. Satan tries to get at you, and that's one of the ways they do it. Have great talks one to another individually and pull others in after you've had that one-on-one talk, and peace and love will grow. Amen? All right, point two is this. How do we grow in our hope? Well, hope perseveres. And we've got a number of verses that we're familiar with that talk about this with respect to maturity. So let's look in James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." You see, this is James, the brother of Jesus, writing. We're going to be studying the book of James for the months of September and October, right? We have a great series on the book of James coming. So if you want to start reading it now, I encourage you to do that. But he's talking about what it takes to be mature. And he says, consider it pure joy when you face trials, because that causes you to be tested and it causes you to persevere. And when you persevere, you grow, right? You grow in your faith when you do not quit. You grow when resistance comes. So trials come specifically to help you grow. You see this pattern: testing, perseverance, maturity. And the Apostle Paul said the same thing in Romans chapter 5, right? This is a very familiar verse. I didn't quote the verse, but you guys know this verse. Basically, the Apostle Paul said quite clearly, we glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. You guys remember that, right? That's a classic verse. We go through suffering so that we'll persevere, so that we'll develop character, and character produces hope. And one of the three qualities of deep spiritual development is a growing hopefulness inside of us. If we keep trusting, if we keep praying, if we keep serving, if we keep doing what is right, our ability to hope more will grow. It's not easy, but it will grow. And see, here's the thing. The trial that you might go through, some of us go through really strong financial trials. I know how hard it is to survive. I remember one time running out of gas twice in the same day when I was like 23 years old, just to survive, right? I know it can be tough. Some of us, we get to a stage in life, maybe that's not an issue for us, and there's other challenges of family. Trials don't end when your kids go off to college, right? Parents will tell you that, right? There's always trials that we face, but the reality is the trial is not just what happened. Maybe a death in the family, maybe a deep sickness, maybe a loss of job, maybe again, a deep conflict where you feel deeply wounded and hurt and maligned and falsely accused and mistreated. And maybe you don't like the direction the church is going and it's painful. The trial isn't what happened necessarily. The trial is what you do next. Will you, in that moment of testing, choose to have hope in God's promises? That's the challenge many of us have to face, right? You understand that God gives these trials so that we would fight back and say, I'm not giving in. I'm not quitting. I know I feel disillusioned, but I'm going to continue to resist that temptation. See, resistance builds strength. Resistance, when you continue to do what is right. And we all understand this in the physical world. How many of us have ever gone to a gym? Any of us go to a gym? Well, they keep lifting the weights up, right? You start with one set, that was easy. So then they put more, and then you go even higher, and then you go even higher. Why? Because physiology has taught that when you increase the weight, when the resistance goes up, it breaks down the fibers more, and then when they rebuild, they build up a little stronger. It's a natural created order of life, and it enables us to accomplish the things that we need to accomplish, right? God built that into the creation, both physically and spiritually. Now, a lot of women, I think, gain maturity sooner than men. And I was thinking about this recently. Why is that? It's no question. I met Carrie, she was 19, and I was 24. But everybody thought she was more mature than me, right? Well, in general, this is just true. Well, I have the answer. I ran across this this Instagram page called She's Not Crazy. It was funny. It's like a British or Australian guy doing this little quip about women and why they are the way they are. And he did a deep dive into the physiology of women and how their cycle works and all the things. And he had this one that just blew my mind. He's like, women go through stuff you would never imagine every single month, every single year, and through a lifetime. He said for a man to equal the hormonal drop of a woman, he'd have to live 125 years, and it's the hormonal drop they go through every month. And they don't go through just one hormonal drop, they go through two. They do the first one, and that's just is like 85% drop in hormones. No man ever goes, we just don't go through that. I had a little hormonal drop in my 40s, and I thought, oh, the world's ending. I don't feel as, robust as I normally did. They go through it every month. Then another one, right? And then their monthly time happens. Oh, and then, by the way, if they have a baby, their entire physiology changes. They're carrying double the, their metabolism increases by 50%. Right, their entire brain chemistry is rewired permanently. And then after they give birth, they have, he says, they have, a wound inside of them the size of a dinner plate that no one mentions. all women have to do these types of things. And they go through average women 400 times in their lifetime. They go through these cycles. And they're expected to be kind, loving, happy, serve, take care of everything you take care of. And by and large, women, you do. You are facing resistance. So no wonder you're getting mature. It's like, you're dealing with stuff we can't. Men are like, why is she acting like that? Bro, you don't understand it. There's nothing wrong with her. She was made that way so that she could do the things God has for her. And I do believe God has made women miraculously complex and unique and strong in certain ways that blow you away, right? They're multitasking, they're parenting, their ability to see things. It's just amazing. Men are equal with women. We're equal. But I still am mesmerized by the things that women are able to do through all the stuff they go through, right? My wife said she saw, I know I'm going on and on about this, but she said that she saw this thing where they were putting like a pack on these men, these trainees men, that simulates a woman's period. And they couldn't handle it for like 5 minutes. They're like, ah, you know, they're yanking it off. And women go through this and they're expected to serve and obey and do what Jesus says all the time. And they do. And I think that helps them mature. The point is, we know what importance of resistance training, right? I got out there surfing a lot and all of a sudden I could swim better, right? The more I did it, I was able to get through those waves. And you know, the more you get in that gym, your weight goes up. If you train, you grow. When you face hard times, you grow. That's the principle. Don't run away, get into some difficulties and don't hate them. The scriptures say rejoice in them. All right, can you rejoice in these things? You know, the question you want to ask yourself is, God, what are you trying to build in me through this? Right? What is God doing in you? He made you to grow, to become like his son, to become like him, right? To become the very nature of God himself. It's exciting. We've got to have a growing hope to believe God is not finished with you. And I'm staying with God through the hardest of times. I'm going to persevere and trust his promises. And so the third thing I want to talk about is our faith and how faith, it trains. A growing faith will be trained. And we do find a verse that says exactly this in Hebrews. Another one I think many of you have read. It says, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You see that? They've trained themselves through constant use of God's word, of God's messaging, of the lifestyle that Jesus called us to. And a lot of times it's not all the deepest complex teachings that get us to do the basic things. The basic things tend to be kind of easy to understand and hard to follow through with. But faith is trusting God's way enough to actually do what he says. Right? To actually do what he says. A lot of times we don't need deeper information. Although I think the idea of this tension between two worlds, and I get mesmerized by the idea of the new creation. And I know Billy's reading this book by N.T. Wright that talks about the new creation, and it's some deep stuff. I like that. It feeds my soul. However, a lot of times what we really simply need is deeper obedience. You guys with me? Sometimes you just, you know, we don't need another lesson about prayer. When I read E.M. Bounds' book on prayer, which I recommend, it just makes me want to pray. He's got page after page of how amazing is the more you pray. And I'm like, I got to stop reading. I got to go out and pray, right? You don't need more stuff about it. You need to get out there and do it. We don't necessarily need another lesson about forgiveness. You need to forgive. You don't need another lesson about purity. You got to realize it's hard. We get tempted. Sexual temptation is strong. Fight it. Resist it. Each resistance strengthens you for the next time. Say no to it. You can be strong. Pull people in. Have accountability. Talk about where you're at. You can resist temptation. And when you do, you get stronger. Right? We don't need another lesson about how important generosity is. Give, and then God begins to bless. Overflowing blessings start coming. We need to have the talks with one another, not just be told by me to have the talks. Please have the kinds of talks that we need. Mature disciples master the fundamentals. And you could be in a church a long, long, long time, But when through constant use, you consistently do the things Jesus does, it's going to become easier to do the things Jesus does. That's why the spiritual practices that we're focusing on are so important. The little things matter. Each day matters. I want to really urge you guys to do these things, to train yourself so that temptation won't overwhelm you, because you will be tempted in this dark world, but you can stand strong against it. Amen? We have hope. You know, great thing. I love the message of the cross, because you get a chance to restart. If you've gotten out of shape, you can go back to the gym. You can hire a trainer, right? If you've messed up your finances, you can hire a financial guide to help you get your budget in line. If you've messed up in some kind of sin, pull aside a close brother or sister, open up your life, talk it through. And the amazing thing is God sees you the way I see my little 3-year-old grandson, and he's starting to disobey these days, right? And I look at him and he does things and he won't obey me. And I say, okay, nose against the wall for 10 seconds. And he stands there and I make him count to 10. And then I say, what do you say? Sorry, Gepa, sorry. And guess how, am I mad at him? No, I'm like, I love you. That's how God feels. Some of us feel so guilty, so ashamed that we just don't see how much God says, no, I love you. Just don't do it again, all right? Let's move forward. Just move forward. That's God's heart. Amen, church. We can grow. You can step back in and get stronger in whatever area you need. We can become, this will become part of our mantra. Our faith, right? As our faith grows through training, we become more of everything God intended. We're able to see things and do things and create dreams for what God has in store for us. And you get this growth pattern through faith, hope, and love, and belong, believe, become. Right? When you have a strong love that follows through and that obeys, you now have a culture within that you feel like you belong within a family. The family is real love, right? And when you have that kind of environment, it encourages your soul. And when you really have hope, right, that good things are going to happen to you, you start believing deeply, it gives you the desire to keep following through. And then when your faith keeps growing, it causes you to try new ideas, see progress, which makes you want to love more. When you feel this hope, it makes you want to love more. And all of them circle around and spiral up and build up your spiritual strength. They lead into one another and help you little by little form the character of Jesus. So the question for today as we close out is this: where have you been shrinking back? Has there been an area in your life where you have shrunk back? Well, the question is, you know, maybe there's some discouragement, and instead of resisting and staying strong and maybe following through, even though it's really hard and you don't see any results, you've just given back into some old habits. You know, you can start again. Maybe you've shrunk away. People don't lose their faith by just walking in and saying, I don't believe in God anymore. It almost never happens. Right? Normally what happens is they shrink back in little obediences. I don't really need to go to worship services. Or I don't need to read my Bible. Or what's the point? It's not helping me. Or you drift a little bit, because it is hard at times. Sometimes you feel stale or a little dry in your faith or a little distant. And I understand that happens to all of us, but you got to hang in there. Don't shrink back. If you'll hang in there, you're going to grow a little bit. When you grow a little bit, you're going to start getting a little taste of that love, of that hope, and that faith, and it can strengthen you and pull you out of it. Amen? So I want all of us to ask that question this week, and then I want you to simply do this. Take the next obedient step, whatever that is for you. Maybe it's prayer with somebody. Maybe you need to get a trainer and go in the gym. Maybe you need an accountability partner. Maybe it's a good talk you need to have. Maybe you're a little bit upset with somebody. Maybe it's me. Pull me aside if it's me. Whatever you need to do, you have the talk. You take that obedient step, because Jesus has designed this world such that we would be growing and getting stronger. We can always get stronger. Amen. Love you guys.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.